Wow, do I look really tall? That will be the first time in my life. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, because you're wondering, I'm 4'9", and my husband, who is sitting down here, is 6'2", and he says we're the long and the short of it. So. And he also calls me sweet and low, so... But you know what? Really and truly, whenever I go and speak and I have to say to whoever's in charge, would you think about where I'm going to be standing? Because I'm so small, many times the pulpit will just literally engulf me. And so it's humbling to stand up on here, but it reminds me of why I think God made me my size. I am a small servant of a great God. Okay, my timer is going off. I am honored to be able to stand before you this afternoon and just share with you the things that God has taught me. And you know what? Yesterday, I was outside of my house and I had a broom and I'm sweeping off the dead worms. Yesterday, I was emptying the glitter box at home. Yesterday, I was cooking lunch and supper. I'm just like you. And the things that I'm going to share with you are just things literally that the Lord has taught me when I've been in the secret place. And I have a heart for ladies because I am one. And it's just a joy to be able to just encourage you in your walk with God. And I think about why we're here. And we've seen this word, revitalize, revitalize, revitalize. And that little prefix, re, means to do something again. And in this last year, the word re has been a part of a lot of words in our life. Like, I gotta go get retested for COVID, or we're going to have to reschedule the event that we planned, or we're going to, let's rearrange the living room while we have time. But revitalize. Have you ever felt the need in just your own self? You look in the mirror and you just think to yourself, something's got to change. I need to be revitalized, but really we don't even know where to start. Sometimes when you look inside that garage and you think, this thing needs to be revitalized, I don't even know where to begin. But we are here this weekend to be spiritually revitalized. I love this word. It means to impart new life to something. It's an exciting word, and it can bring about the best kind of change in our spiritual lives this weekend if we will let the Lord speak to our hearts. And I just pray that you would be willing to just have an open heart, to even just say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you say to me, I will obey you. I think that's why you're here. Let's stop and pray. Lord, I thank you that at the moment we turned positive to Christ, we were revitalized. We were made alive in you. And then, Lord, you began a work in our lives to change us, to make us more like your precious Son. And really, Lord, that's why we're here today. We need you. We need to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help these ladies, even as they sit and listen. For the ladies that are watching this virtually, I pray that their hearts would be open and tender. And Lord, whatever you say, we will obey you. Use your word to change us even now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in Genesis to Genesis chapter 16. That's where we're going to start this afternoon. Genesis chapter 16. You know, a lot of times, one reason we need to be revitalized is because we just don't like what's happening around us. And we have this desire in our hearts, and you think, if I could just run away somewhere, I would run away. Have you felt that way? But even in this last year, we think, where would we go? There's nowhere that's going to be different from where we are. But we want to run away. We need something. We need a change. We want escape, whatever it is that we're dealing with right now. And we just wish we could run away. I love that the Word of God gives us people that were just like we are. What things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so we're going to look in Genesis chapter 16 today at a lady who felt like running away. And not only did she feel like it, she did it. We're going to look at Hagar. I want us to read verses 1 through 6. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. We're going to be talking in my sessions about how a face-to-face encounter with Christ will change everything. We're going to see that it changed things for Hagar, and then make the application to our own lives about how we can be changed in the same way. We see, first of all, in this passage, there was a fight going on. Now, the fight really began with Sarai, because she was becoming so impatient with what they were wanting God to do. God had promised 10 years before that they would have a child, but Sarai has become impatient, and she then comes up with an improvisation. She says, I have a plan. You ever feel that way? Like, things aren't happening as fast as I'd like for it to go. So let's put this to action. Let me come up with a little plan. Women are great for that. She comes up with a plan of her own. But you know what, ladies? We cannot mix faith and our flesh. And that is what Sarai is doing here. There is also a huge danger as I read this verse in verse 2 when she comes to Abram and she says, Look, the Lord's just not acting as fast as I want him to, so I have a plan. But we never read that Abram says, Wait just a minute, darling. Let's pray about this. Or, That's not such a good idea. Remember God's promise to us? He just does it. Now, I do think that Abram had a part in this. He should have stood up as the household leader. But I think it's a warning to us as wives, if you're married, how important our words are to our husband. Because we can strongly influence them with just giving a suggestion. Like, you need to go in there and you need to tell that man off. I mean, we mean it. And he knows it and he does it. We need to be so careful, because that's what Sarai's words did to Abram. And it began this whole domino effect of problems. Proverbs 14:1 reminds us that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands, and she can do it with her words as well. The things that we say can tear our house down. So Sarai encourages Abram to take part in, at that time, what was like a surrogacy. He would have a child through their handmaid, but that child would really be the child of Abram and Sarai and not Hagar. That's how it would happen. But this was a sin against God. This was not God's plan. It's a sin of unbelief. She's not taking God at his word, what he said he was going to do for them. And this is a sin against God's will for marriage between one man and one woman. And it's also a sin against Abram and Sarah's marriage. She was taking things into her own hands. And we see here now that there's some indignation. Look at verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Now Hagar, because she is expecting a child, she looks down at Sarai. Hagar is kind of lifted up in pride here. John 6:63 says that the flesh profits nothing. But the flesh can produce something. And we may be really sorry that we got it. Doing things in our flesh can result in things that we regret for years to come. And whenever a man or a woman tries to do things without God, it's going to be a miserable failure. Or you know what? It might even be a miserable success. Because that's what we see right here with Sarai. Now, ladies, often when we don't like what's happening around us, we begin to manipulate people and situations to make things happen the way we want them to happen or as fast as we want it to happen. My husband and I are blessed with three daughters, and our third daughter has given me permission to share this story. And perhaps if you've heard a workshop that I've done at Prayer Advance before, you may have heard this story before. But you know, when God allows things to happen in your life, it is your platform that he gives you. It's the place from which you can speak and share a testimony about the awesome God that you serve. And so this is my platform. When our third daughter, Allie, and her husband had been married for a couple of years, they were anxious to have a family. And that desire in their heart, they're like, okay, God, we're ready. We're ready to raise a child for you. But time passed, and there was no fruit from that. There was no child. And they began frustrated, and so like, well, maybe we better go to the doctor, and let's just be checked and see if we know if there's a problem here. The doctor checked and was like, everything's great. We don't know what the problem is. But if you like, there are fertility drugs that you can take that will help you. And you know what? For some people, that's God's answer. But when Andrew and Allie prayed about it, God clearly said no. Oh, they were disappointed. Maybe this was the way it was going to happen. But they said, you know what, while we're waiting, why don't we become foster parents? Let's just get the paperwork going. And that's a lot of paperwork. And so they got all that going, and they were working on that. And that, because that takes so much time, again, that waiting became so long and so hard. And Allie said, I know what let's do. Let's go ahead and try that medicine that the doctor recommended. He said it wouldn't hurt me. It would just, you know, help things. And you know, it's just not a sin. So let's just try this. And he said, okay. And so they did. Allie began that medicine in November. That would be 2016. And she began to get very sick. Headaches, stomach issues, all kinds of things. They realized it was because of that medication, but, well, we're going to plug through. We're going to take this medication. And then around the beginning of the year in January, she'd been on it for like 4 months or so, they said, okay, God, we're hearing you. And they stopped the medication. February the 15th, they got a phone call from the hospital in the NIC unit, and the DSS worker was there, and they said, we know that your paperwork is completed. Your home is open for a foster child. We actually have two babies that need to be fostered. These are little baby boys that were born at 24 weeks. And now they're 3 months old and they're ready to be soon put into a placement of a foster home. Would you be willing to open your home to them? And of course their answer was, yes! So they went to the hospital, and after a couple of weeks, they were able to bring those boys home, began to just pour into them and love them. Just from a very bad situation is what they were taken from. Actually, they never left the hospital. This now was going to be their first time in a home. But you know what? The amazing thing was about their story is when they got to the hospital and they met the boys and they looked at their paperwork, the paperwork showed that their birthday, November the 8th, the first day that Allie started taking that medication. God knew. God had a reason for saying no, and they could trust him. God was taking care of every detail along the way. And now those little boys are 4 years old. They were adopted 2 years to the date of the day Allie and Andrew started fostering them. Did God have a plan? God had a plan for Sarai and Abram. But oh, when we put our flesh to the work, we don't give God the glory. We take the glory that he deserves. So I ask you, what are you trying to manipulate? What are you trying to change? What are you trying to work out so that it's going to be your way? You may get it, but you may be very sorry that you did. So this indignation that's stirring up is causing problems between Sarai and Hagar. Hagar is lifted up with pride. And you know, when family fights happen, they're some of the hardest to deal with. Because we begin to act like the world and respond to one another like the world. And that's how we war with each other, like the world wars. And Hagar is lifted up in pride. And when it says here in verse 6 that Sarai dealt harshly with her, it's the same Hebrew word that talks about when the Israelites were dealt harshly by their Egyptian masters. That's pretty rough treatment. I don't know what Sarai said to Hagar, but it wasn't good. She dealt harshly with her. Hagar is in despair. Can you think about how she must have felt? Now she's pregnant with this child. She feels caught in between this whole ugly situation. She's living in a male-dominated society. And now she's alone and being really pushed out by her mistress. And I imagine at times like that, that maybe she could have heard the accuser saying, where's God in all of this? Where's the Lord now? And I think at this point that Hagar began to think ungodly, unbiblical thoughts about herself. And when we listen to the accusations of our enemy who says, yeah, where's God in this that you're dealing with? Where's the Lord now? We need to think the truth about who we are in Christ. But Hagar is wanting to get away. And secondly, I want us to see the flight. The fight is going on, and now she's going to leave. The flight, she's leaving. And I want us to look at verse 6. And Abram said, do whatever you want to her. And she fled from her face at the end of verse 6. She leaves. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit yourself to her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. Look at how many times from verse 7 to verse 11 you read the words, and the Lord said unto her, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, and the angel of the Lord said unto her. When we are running away, God wants to speak to us. When we want to run away, we should be able to say and write in our journal, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, rather than us listening to ourselves. But here we find, first of all, that she is found by this well of water. The Lord found her. And you know what? I think we really should put an exclamation point at the end of that sentence, because it's easy for you and I, because we've read this maybe many times, where we read, the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain. No, it's stop. The angel of the Lord found her. This is just not somebody. This isn't just an angel. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. Whenever you see the words L-O-R-D in all caps, this is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, who is the Jesus of the New Testament. The Lord Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, came to find her. That ought to just blow us away. And you know what? When we are found by the Lord, we will be amazed that he cared enough to stop and speak to me in the time when I wanted to run away. She's alone and bare, and in this barren wilderness by herself. But she is not alone, because the Lord found her there. This is often where he finds us. We feel alone. We feel like, who understands? Who even knows? Who even cares that I'm here in this wilderness? The Lord does. It might even be why you're here this weekend. Like, I wasn't planning on going, but you're here. This is a divine appointment for you, because the Lord wants to meet you this weekend to say, I am here. I am with you. Secondly, we see that she meets the Lord face to face. He talks to her face to face. And in verse 7, it says that he found her by the fountain in the way to Shur. And the word Shur means wall. So in a sense, we can say that Hagar had her back against the wall. It's like she had nowhere else to go. She didn't know what else she was going to do. And this is where the Lord found her. She ran right into God himself. How many of us just, we're running. We're just running away from some bad circumstance or situation. We may be running away from unfair treatment or from hardship or a difficult marriage. And you know what? We don't necessarily have to leave the marriage to be running away, because in our heart, we can be there physically, but emotionally and spiritually, we are disconnected from that marriage. We're running away from it. We run away from people that disagree with us, or from bad memories, or just from reality itself. How many times, yes, indeed, we wanted to run away from the reality of 2020. But the Lord wants to meet us there. And you know, it might even be like Hagar, that you're caught in the crossfire of somebody else's sin. But she was also a little party to that sin, wasn't she? Her pride that lifted up, she was also a part of that. And we may say, and someone said to me just yesterday, they said, someone is going through this problem and this problem and this problem. It's just like, so much. Lord, why? Why all this? And where are you, God? But here Hagar is, she runs right into the Lord to see that he had seen it all. He heard it all. So I want to ask you, what is greater? Somebody who could let the dam down to stop the raging waters, or the person who would dive into those raging waters to rescue the drowning victim. That's what the Lord does for us. We feel like we're overwhelmed and no help is in sight. And he comes to us to rescue us. He will find you and he will be face to face with you. Did God want this to happen, what we just read? This was not God's will. Remember, they took their will and put it into action instead of waiting on God. This was not God's will. But yet then we turn and we say, Lord, what are you doing? This was not his plan. But you know what? I love Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than what? In all these things. Not away from them, not when we get past it, but right now, in the middle of the trial, we can be conquerors in that hardship. In the difficult marriage, in the difficulty that we are facing, the trial, the sickness, whatever it is going through, the valley that you are going through. And I love when we read here that it was as she was going, he found her in the way. And that is where he finds us, as he was in the way, verse 7, in the way to Shur. The Lord will give us victory in that way. Trial right now. We don't have to wait until it's over. We can have victory even now. So are you running from something? You can take comfort that God sees you. And if so many times we get in these situations and then we get anxious, and our anxious heart makes us think things that are not true about ourselves according to God's word, and then we become cold spiritually, and we remove ourselves farther and farther away from what we know we should be doing. And instead of having that face-to-face encounter with the Lord, we get farther and farther away from him. Recently, I've come to learn and love a song. Maybe you know it, Wherever You Are. The chorus says, wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. He already knows wherever you go, what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find he's never too far from wherever you are. God is there with you. I want us to see, next of all, the plight of Hagar. What's the future going to look like? I mean, really, with her situation, what can she do? Her back is against the wall, but she has seen the Lord face to face. But what difference does that make? I mean, you've come here this weekend. What difference is that going to make in your situation? We have to come face to face with the Lord as she was. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When Hagar met Christ face to face, she was changed. She was revitalized, if you will. And the same thing can happen for us. And I want to quickly just close in telling you how we can be changed by having a face-to-face encounter with Christ. Our brother talked about that in our last session. Just understanding that it's him, that he's the one that we need. First of all, I want us to see that even as Hagar saw Christ in her situation, when we are face to face with the Lord, we will see him in our trying situation. He will be there. We will see him in our way. He is going to be enough for us in our marriage. Christ is enough for the difficulty of overcoming the cancer diagnosis. He is with us in whatever hardship we're going through. And when we're face to face with him, we are aware, oh Lord, yes, you are in this. Secondly, we will understand and see ourselves as we really are. When you look at verse 8, and he said, the Lord Jesus said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, You can't overlook that little phrase. He reminds her, Hagar, you're just a maid. Why were you puffing yourself up in pride? You know you're her servant. Hagar, Sarai's maid. When we are face to face with the Lord, he will tell us the truth about ourselves. We will understand the sin that is in our heart that we need to confess. We will see ourselves as we really are. You know, I don't know if men are like this or not really, but I've had the blessing of being able to counsel with a lot of ladies. And I know that often when we sit face to face and I say, you know, I'm seeing this in your life. I'm seeing that you're not being obedient to this command in God's word. So many times her response to me is, oh yeah, I do that. I do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. It's being lifted up in pride. But when we're face to face with the Lord and he says, Denise, Sarai's maid, you're just a servant. We will see ourselves as he sees us. The next thing is that when we're face to face with Christ, we will learn what to do next. We will learn how we are to take that next step. In verse 9, he says to her, return to thy mistress. When you're in a trial, don't you just wonder, like, I don't even know what to do next? Then you need to sit down face to face with the Lord, an open Bible. And even as we've already heard today, just to be still. Don't talk. Listen. Because the Lord will tell you what the next step is that you need to take. And he says, go and return back to Sarai. You know what this word means? It means repent. To repent means to call our sin what God calls it. Call it by the very same name. We're running. We're wanting to change things. But we get face to face before the Lord and we see ourselves as we are. And then the Lord says, now, here's what you need to do next. You need to repent. It's so good to just tell the Lord what he already knows. Confess that sin to him. Because if we confess, we know that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next blessing of a face-to-face encounter with the Lord is that we're reminded of his promises. In verse 10, he tells her that he is going to multiply her seed exceedingly. Her son was the ancestor of the Arab people. He gives her a promise. And we need to be reminded of God's promises. Even today, I've said, Lord, you said you will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Fill me. When we're face to face with him, we're reminded, why am I thinking this way? Even as I think about this right here, and I say, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that my soul knoweth right well. We're reminded of the word of God. We're reminded of his promises. We also realize that God knows every detail of our lives. He told her, he said, you're with child, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name his name Ishmael. This is the first time in scripture that a child's name is given before the birth. He knew every detail. And the Lord knows every detail of what you are dealing with. When we're face to face with Christ, we also learn the character of God. Ladies, if you don't come to know who your God is, you're going to fall apart when trials come. But if you know who he is, you're going to say, Lord, I remember that you are, and you name the character trait, you are Elroy. I want you to see this. Look in verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. That name for God is Elroy. Thou God seest me. For she said, have I also looked after him that seeth me? She said, God, you see me, and now I've seen you. When we are face to face with the Lord, we will learn his character. And instead of falling apart and saying, where is God? You can say, no, Elroy is here. He sees every detail. He knows what's going on in my life. He hears it. The name Ishmael means God hears. God sees. God hears. He is omnipotent. He is wise. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. And when you're face to face with him, you will learn his character. You will also learn when you're face to face with him how much he loves you. This is the first time that the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the pre-incarnate Christ. It does happen again, and we're going to talk about another time of that tomorrow. But who does he come to first? A woman. Women were lower in rank to men at this time. But the Lord Jesus revealed himself for the first time in his spirit to a woman who is alone, who is barren, who's expecting a child, who feels desolate. If you've had a face-to-face encounter with Christ, when you open his word and you say, oh God, I don't know what to do. I'm frustrated. I feel alone. I feel desperate. Lord, show me in your word. And he speaks the truth to your heart. You know how much he loves you because you know his presence is there with you. He's taught you. He has been face to face with you, and you have been face to face with him. When we have a face to face encounter with Christ, we can then do the hard thing. Do you think it was going to be easy for Sarai to go back to, or Hagar to go back to Sarai? She's going to have to go with a humble heart. She's going to have to go and submit herself to this woman who has just treated her so harshly. But she could go, because who was going with her? Elroy. Amen. He was going with her to help her to be able to do the hard thing. Psalm 119, verse 74 says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. We can do the hard things because we say, Lord, I'm trusting you and your word. You told me you were going to go with me. You would give me the willing and the doing of your good pleasure. We can do the hard thing that he calls us to. So you know what? The lesson here from Hagar is not that we need a change of our circumstances. It's not that we just should just run away like Hagar did. Because we don't need to have a change of our scenery or of our spouse or of our scenario or of our sanctuary where we worship or of our siblings or of our status. What we need is a face to face encounter with Christ. We need to change the way we're thinking so that it's God's thoughts. And that's only going to come when we are face to face with him. My little 4-year-old grandsons love to talk, as 4-year-olds do. And they'll be chatting away to their mommy in the car. And, mommy, mommy, mommy. And they'll tell her something. And she'll say, I hear you, honey. No, mommy, we want to see your face. You and I, we can hear God speaking. But we should say, oh, no, Lord. I don't want to hear it from somebody else. I want you to speak to me, Lord. I need to see your face. I think that's what this weekend is all about. That we would be face to face with the Lord, afresh and anew, to be revitalized spiritually. But you know, it's going to require some things. It's going to require humility. You're going to have to admit your sin. It's going to require obedience then. That when God puts his finger on something, that you obey and you do what he's told you to do. And it will require submission, That means we say, Lord, I'm taking my hands off. I'm not going to try to put my plan into action anymore. It has to start with a face-to-face encounter at salvation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the first face-to-face encounter you have with Him is that you realize that you are a sinner and that He loved you enough to die for you, and you receive Him as your own. If you are a child of God, then it will require you to repent. Go back. You know how it's all going to happen is by remembering, ladies, Elroy, he sees you. Will you this weekend look at him face to face? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that even as we are seated here, that our God, Elroy, sees us. And Lord, you know the need of every woman in this place. You know the need of those that are watching virtually. And Lord, just as you came to Hagar, you come to us at the place where we are broken and wounded and hurting. I pray that even now, Lord, as the ladies are in their seat, help them to make things right with you. And ladies, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and you're just there in your own little world, you and the Lord, I just want to give you a few minutes to just consider, what has God said to you? What do you need to do? And even as you're seated there, that you would maybe even write something down. Obey. I want to give you a minute just to be still. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you this weekend with all of our heart. In Jesus' name.